It is a special day. It is Sunday, July 4th. And for those of you who are history nerds like me, this is only the 34th time this has happened since 1776. Wow. Yeah, only 34 times since the founding of our nation back, I think it's 244 or 45 years ago, have we actually had Independence Day fall on a Sunday. And so I think it's appropriate that we take some time this morning before we break bread and eat burgers and all those other things to think about God's ongoing blessing over our nation and what it really means to be an American. You know, just a few short facts about America. Did you know, and again, you may not have these political opinions, but as I'll point it out there, that according to experts, and this is online, this is not Reese's opinion, only 8% of the world, 8%, E-I-G-H-T, live in a functional and free democracy. That's not very many, Jimmy. 8%. Everybody else is in a totalitarian government, a one-party state, a completely, you know, corrupt whatever, 8%. And that includes us. We're blessed. According to a study, I believe, by the Pew Foundation, less than 30% of the world's population live in a nation that has religious freedom and tolerance. Less than 1 in 3. Most places, we can't do this. Sarah, you'll remember that some years ago that we had gone to Dubai and we were doing an outreach there with Marilyn and everybody. And we got there and I was kind of naive. I didn't know this. There was literally one city block in the entire multi-million dollar wonderful place at that time where Christians were allowed to meet. There was like 15, 20 churches that shared this same building. They started on like a Friday night and went to like Sunday night. And you got your like hour and a half slot for your congregation. 30%. Now, this blew me away, Pat. There was an independent study done, and they rated freedom of expression and freedom of speech amongst all the nations by a whole different group of criteria. Did you know that there is no other nation on earth that has more freedom of expression and freedom of speech than the United States? None. There literally isn't one. I mean, you know, we have it ingrained in our Constitution. We can criticize. We can complain. I can offend you, Pat. I have a constitutional right to say offensive things to you. And you have a constitutional right to give it right back to me, just to throw it right back. We get to do that. There are places where that doesn't happen. And if that wasn't enough for us to say, thank you, God, for your hand upon our country, only 40% of the world live in a nation where they have indoor plumbing. Wow, and that's true. 40%. Praise God for indoor plumbing. After the service, ask me about Russian plumbing. Just ask me. It's not appropriate for the pulpit, but it's there. And so the question is, what does that mean to us Christians here on Sunday, July 4th, 2021? Well, it means that we need to think on the good things, the things that are noble and of a good report. It means that despite our many problems, and we have many problems, there is no nation without them, it's good here. And in my notes, that's bolded and underlined, and it's in, you know, big letters. It's good here. This is a good place to live. Yeah, I'm not denying our problems, but this is, come on, that's a good thing. We have reasons to celebrate and to thank God for the many blessings that we enjoy as Americans. He has put his hand upon us. But it also means this: to whom much is given, much is required or expected. And so on this Sunday, July 4th, 2021, I would also challenge us to remember this, or to consider this, that we should use our freedoms to make this a better nation and world for everyone. To make this a better place, a freer place, a more just place, a place where people can find hope and people do not feel trapped in all sorts of addictive issues and cultural issues and societal and systemic issues, all those things, that we work to make this a better place and to take the gifts that we've been given and use that. But also, as Christians on July 4th, 2021, I think it's important to remember that we're not only Americans, and I'm not ashamed of being American, far from it. I'm proud of being American. I vote in every election. I've voted in 11 different presidential elections in a row. I'm proud of citizenship. I'm not ashamed of the flag. I acknowledge our issues, but I'm not only an American citizen. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I am. And I think we should, you can clap about that too. In fact, you're setting up my next point really well. As citizens of heaven, we should continually celebrate our inclusion in Christ's kingdom. Paul was writing to the church in Colossae. Sarah, how do I say that? Thank you, Colossae. Sometimes I stumble over words. It happens. That's why you have a good wife who helps you. But he was writing to the church in Colossae, in Colossians 1, verses 12 through 14, and he said this, and if you look at the screens, it says, and this is from the Passion Translation, your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. You like fireworks? You like celebrating? At some point, we ought to be able to celebrate with joyful gratitude. You know something? We've been given something that we didn't qualify for, we didn't earn. It was a free gift of God, and it's made our lives eminently better. Being Americans makes our lives better. Being part of Jesus' kingdom really makes our lives better. He has rescued us completely. Say completely. He has, wrap your noggin around that. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. For in the Son, all, somebody say all on my right.
All.
Somebody on my left say all.
All.
Our sins, somebody out there say sins, are canceled and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. I am free from the eternal consequences of my sin because of what Jesus did for me. And that is a cause for celebration. I appreciate freedom of religion. I appreciate freedom of speech. I appreciate living in a representative republic, democracy, whatever you want to call it. I appreciate all those things, but man, I really appreciate the fact that my sins have been atoned for. Sidebar. Stop for a moment. This is just something that I was musing on. Pat, I shared this earlier. I was listening to a pastor teach this week, and he said this. He goes, I think the church has a disconnect on sin. If I ask people, how many of us are sinners saved by grace? How many people put their hands up? And lots of us, hey, we're all sinners saved by grace. Everybody's free to admit they're sinners. But how many of us are willing to let the Holy Spirit confront us about our individual sins? The stuff that Reese does that's wrong, the attitudes Reese has that are not Christ-like, the behaviors that Reese does that are not what God would want me to do, they're not his best for me. Sidebar, just something to think about. We're all okay with being labeled sinners, but how many of us are okay with having him have a conversation with us about our sins? End of sidebar. Let me continue. As Christians, as part of Jesus' kingdom, we have authority over the deceptions of the enemy. Did you know the enemy lies to you?
Sure.
He gives you crazy thoughts. Anybody have any crazy thoughts this week?
Sure.
Come on. I'll call some of you out. I know you had some crazy thoughts. It's like, what the heck am I thinking that for? That's crazy thought. Where'd that come from? It came from your enemy who uses deception to get you to do stupid things. We have crazy emotions. We feel things that are not true about ourselves and people and all sorts of stuff. And the enemy lies to us, but yet Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, hey, you can take captive vain imaginations. And I think by association, vain emotions. And you could say, hey, that thought's not of God. That a feeling shouldn't be happening. I'm not a victim, I'm a victor. I'm an overcoming child of God. And we have the right to walk in freedom from the torment of lies that seek to hold us down. We have access to the presence and the power of God. The presence of God, I get to have a communion. During worship, we are so blessed by our worship ministry. I love the God moments. Somebody asked me, said, what are those quiet moments? Those are God moments. Those are space that we create in our worship service for each of us to commune with our loving Heavenly Father. Because that's what God wants to do. And if we can't do it in here, I don't think we're going to do it out there. And the power of God to not only change ourselves, but to be agents of change in the world we live in. In fact, we have over 7,000 promises that are ours to walk in by faith. 7,000 promises. Your assignment for the week is to find all of them. We have these things that God said he would do for us and in us and through us. If we will simply believe them by faith and take him at his word and walk in that victory, we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We have been given our own Bill of Rights. It's called the Bible. And if I could say it in one summation of what it means to be a citizen of heaven, is that we have received freedom from any and all forms of lack. I'll let you chew on that. We have received freedom from any and all forms of lack. You got a lack of peace? Time in his presence, he said, I will give you peace that goes beyond understanding. It's better than an edible. Not that I know, it's just better than an edible. There was a time, children of God, there was a time in all of our lives, so much. But I'll tell you, spending time in the presence of God will do for you what nothing else can do. A lack of provision. The Bible says that if you will seek first the kingdom of God, all of the things that we have need of will be added unto us. Does that mean we're all going to be multimillionaires? Does that mean that we're going to be able to buy the Denver Broncos when they come out for sale here soon? No, I don't think, unless one of you wants to. Maybe you can. I have no expectation that promise to me that God is going to meet my needs according to his riches and glory means that I can buy the Broncos someday. But it does mean that if my daughter wants to go to a certain college, and that's God's will, he'll bring a provision in. It does mean that I'm never going to be begging bread or out there doing something. It means that God has said that he knows my needs before I ask him to even articulate them. And if I will articulate them in faith and in thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, he said he'll take care of me abundantly beyond what I could possibly ask or expect. A lack of purpose. Why am I here? Is there something I can do that actually matters? We have freedom from a lack of purpose. But just a side note again, there is more fulfillment in serving others than serving ourselves. Freedom from a lack of wisdom. Freedom from a lack of friends. I love church. Why? Because it's community. Because you can connect. Because you can find small groups. You can go on hikes. You can break bread together. You can find people who will help you. If you get connected to the provision that God created, which is the church, the community of faith that is us. We need to remember and celebrate these, but also take responsibility for what we've been given. If being an American means that we acknowledge the blessings we have received, and we hold ourselves accountable for being good stewards of those blessings, good stewards of those opportunities, good stewards of those gifts, that we could use those to go out and bless others, how much more so should we acknowledge what we have received as citizens of heaven? and make an equally, if not more, passionate appeal to ourselves and others to go and be vessels of sharing those blessings. I was musing on this and thinking how to describe this. And I ran across a commentary written by a gentleman. And he said, you could define the church and our mission as keeping two thoughts at the forefront of our efforts. One is the Great Commission. For those of you who've never heard of that, it's from the Gospel of Matthew in its 28th chapter, and where Jesus is looking at his disciples and he says, go into all the world and share the gospel and make disciples of all men. It's called the Great Commission. It's an instruction, a commandment, an empowerment for the church to go and tell people about Jesus. Tell people who've never heard about Christ. Tell people who are languishing in dead religion, languishing in agnosticism, languishing in their own just bondage to lifestyles and issues that just are self-destructive and destructive to others, and to share that good news. And it's critical that the church do that. But there's another thing that Christ told us to do. And it's not the Great Commission, it's the Great Commandment. And in the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter and the 34th verse, he tells us to love one another. It's by our love. And what has happened at times with the church, the church corporate, is we focus on sharing the gospel, the Great Commission, but we forget about the Great Commandment. And then other times we focus on the Great Commandment. Oh, gosh, we got to think about the Great Commandment. It's all about loving people. God is love. We need to share love. And we forget about the Great Commission. And the deal is, they're both necessary for us to be fully devoted followers of Christ. Because to be good citizens, we need to embrace the Great Commission, and we need to embrace the Great Commandment. And in that duality, in that tension, staying between those two boundary conditions, we will find ourselves doing what God has called us to do as citizens of Jesus' kingdom. Because there is a day coming when all of the nations of the earth will come to an end. I love America, our 244 or 45 year history, but did you know that America will come to an end? The Roman Empire was used of God for a season, it came to an end. The British Empire was used for a season, it came to an end. I don't know if America will exist when Christ comes back, but I do know eventually it will come to an end. I know that because it's in the Bible. The prophet Zechariah in the 14th chapter in the 9th verse says, the Lord will be king over the whole world. Yeah. On that day, there will be one Lord and his name, the only name. All of the institutions of men, all of the corporations of men, all of the stuff of men will come to nothing because only what is of God will remain. Again, I love America. But America is not eternal. People out there need to know that God is trying to eliminate everything that stands between them and him. In Colossians, again, the first chapter in the 21st and 22nd verse, it says, once you were alienated from God. Once you were alienated from God. Dave, did you know you were alienated from God? And you were an enemy in your mind because of your evil behavior. Oh my gosh, Dave, you were evil? Thank you for sitting on the front row. Pat appreciates it more than anyone. Yes. But now, Pat, now, God has reconciled Dave by Christ's physical body through death to present him holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. No one gets to accuse Dave. Diane, you hear that? No one gets to accuse Dave because Christ has called you innocent. And there's a lot of people out there that don't understand that God is doing everything he can to eliminate all of the barriers that stand between them and him. So that is the Great Commission. But what about the Great Commandment? If I could say it this way, because of what we've experienced from Christ, our hearts towards others should be changed. Go with me to the book of Philippians, the second chapter, and just 8 verses here. I'm going to read through these rather quickly. Verse 1 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, has anybody been encouraged by Jesus in the last few days? Any comfort from his love? Anybody felt the love of God in your life? If any common sharing in the Spirit, you were in a meeting and the Holy Ghost showed up and began to just, you know, encourage you, any tenderness and compassion when you felt, rather than God's judgment, his grace in your life, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What he's saying essentially is, I want you, Reese, to love Otis the way that I love you. Now, does God love me when I screw up? Does God love me when I disappoint him? Does God love me when I embarrass him publicly, as I'm doing this morning? No. Or I would have been if I had worn shorts. No, I don't think that would have embarrassed God. But the point of that is, so what about Otis? What if Otis did something that hurt me or embarrassed me or whatever? Would I still love Otis? Again, thank you for being here, Otis, and thank you for being my friend. But the point is, that's what love looks like. Would I do those things? Continue in these verses. Who, meaning Jesus, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Pause there. I'm the Son of God, therefore I get to do certain things. I'm the Son of God, therefore you must do certain things for me. This is something I don't fully understand, but I was studying for this, and I said, have I ever used my Christianity for my advantage at the expense of someone else? I don't know. Have I ever felt superior to someone because I was saved and they weren't? Looked at him and said, you're going to regret your life someday. You're going to regret not choosing Jesus. You're going to regret it. I, however, will not. Has that ever happened to me? I'm still chewing on that. I don't have a full revelation of that. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. I told you that we're walking out the Great Commission when we recognize what Jesus has done for us and how important it is for that same thing to happen in other people. We're walking out the great commandment when we love people the way we've been loved. And if I could say it this way, you can tell you're loving people when you're walking in selfless servanthood to others. I'm serving you just because I'm serving you. And you're humbly obedient to God's leading. Humbly obedient to God's leading. And when we do these two things, we see amazing results. I was thinking this morning as I was preparing for this message, and a testimony of an old friend popped into my head. I haven't thought about this man. I know we haven't lived in the same city for decades, literally, but I remember him sharing his story with me one time on a ski slope of how he came to Christ, and he was a very successful, or is a very successful businessman. And they were young in their marriage. They had young kids. His wife was completely overwhelmed. She was literally working out at a local YMCA, and she ran across a flyer for a woman's group for young mothers. And so, you know, she knew she was just, you know, dying as a young mom. And so she said, I'm going to go there. I got to find some help because I don't know what I'm doing and I need some support. So she went to this church's young mothers group, and she found life, and she found hope, and she found community, and she found like-minded people, and she gave her heart to Christ. And again, they would not have described themselves as not believers. They would have said, we're Christians, but we're just not active in our faith. And so she invites him to come to church with her. And he says, well, you know, got nothing else going on Sunday morning, so I'll go to church with you. He goes there and he's just, yeah, not really my cup of tea. But they find out he's a musician, and they say, hey, do you want to play in the band? And he's like, well, I love to play. I never get a chance to play. I'm working 6 days a week, but Sundays I'm free. I might as well play in the band. And so he starts playing in the band, and he goes, the funny thing is, I didn't even believe all of what the pastor was preaching, but they still let me be in the band. They liked me. He was a drummer. We always need drummers. If you're a drummer in Jesus' name, we'll disciple you into the kingdom. Thank you, God. But these things, and he came to church, and they would have the worship team come back up and play at the end of the service when they did the altar call at that time. And so they had an evangelist in town who was just preaching this message. And he's sitting there going, I don't know if I buy any of that. And he's playing in the band, and the evangelist gives the altar call, and he says, while I'm playing for the altar call, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. How cool is that? That is way cool. That to me is a church that is saying, hey, we are okay with people who don't necessarily believe or know what they believe like we do. You're welcome here to experience the presence of God, to experience the love of God, to encounter people who are willing to love you the way that Christ loved them, but also to share with you the truth that there is one way unto heaven, and that is the man Jesus Christ, who gave his life in atonement for our sins. Because when we walk out the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, we are an effective congregation, an effective community, and we see the world changed. And so, that's my prayer. I don't know if you have this in the back, but every so often I put up a prayer, and I just say that this is the takeaway. This is the takeaway. And the takeaway from this service is this simple confession. Father God, teach me how to share and how to love. Teach me how to share and how to love. Show me how to talk to my friends and family. Show me how to not be anxious or afraid. Show me how to love people who don't deserve it the way I don't deserve it. Who in this room deserves God's love? Nobody. None of us deserve God's love. Love's not about deserving it. You don't love because, you love in spite of. And love is 100% a choice. This is mythology that I don't feel like love. I don't care what your feelings are. They lie to you. Love is 100% a choice. We choose to love, or we choose not to. And so, Father, because you alone really know what love is, you alone really know what we need to say, when we need to say, who we need to say it to. Teach us how to share and how to love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, for everyone who's watching online or everyone who's here live that may not yet have a relationship with you, I pray that if they're willing to take a step of faith and just say, that's me. That's me. This morning, I want to know you, God. I want to experience freedom from my sins and freedom from my addictions and freedom from my mistakes and freedom from the past. I want that freedom, Lord, here on this Independence Day. I just ask you, Jesus, into my heart. That's all you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. Just say it. Just say it right where you're at, online or live. Just say it right where you're at. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I believe in you, and I surrender to you as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you've done that before and it's been a while and you're saying, well, how do I reconnect to God? It's just that simple, saying, God, I want to reconnect with you. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, I want to experience more of God. I like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You've been talking about the Holy Spirit for weeks, Pastor Reese, you and Sarah. How do I do that? You do it really simply. You simply say, Holy Spirit, come into my life. We have altar workers who will be up here at the end of the service to pray with you on any of those points. But know that if you'll do those things and take those step of faith, something amazing will happen to you. And your life will be forever changed. And your eternity will be forever changed.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.